Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fast my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 9th of October. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. A Douglas man has appeared in court charged with attempted murder. Meanwhile, a new survey suggests the majority of Isle of Man residents support tougher rules on smoking and vaping. And after claiming her second world title last week, Manx martial arts competitor Alana Pritchard has announced she's hoping to go pro. As always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email me at studio@manxradio.com. But first, let's get the latest with Simon Richardson. Faster my, Simon.
Faster my. Manx Care has announced the Martin Ward at Ramsden District Cottage Hospital is to close towards the end of October for around 4 weeks. In a statement, it says the measure follows a pest control issue restricted to part of the building's roof space and is required to enable thorough and safe remedial work to take place. During the temporary closure, patients who would normally be cared for in Martin Ward will be relocated to Ward 19 at Nobles Hospital. The Education Minister insists adopting a new framework and assessment programme for English in primary schools will be more inclusive for students. The scheme, which has been piloted over the past 12 months, sets clear expectations for children's progress with reading and writing. It aims to be rolled out in secondary schools as well by September next year. A Douglas man has appeared in court after being charged with attempted murder. Taylor Jake Murphy of Highview Road is also accused of having an offensive weapon, namely a knife, in a public place, amongst other charges. The 19-year-old appeared in court only to confirm his name and address. There was no application for bail. He'll next appear on the 14th of October. Further afield, the UK Prime Minister says Donald Trump's leadership is why Israel and Hamas have agreed a peace deal in Gaza. Both sides are signing off on the US president's plan, with a pause in fighting expected to start in the next 24 hours. Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners will be exchanged soon after. Former radio DJ Tim Westwood has been charged with multiple sexual offences, including 4 counts of rape. The Metropolitan Police says the accusations against the 68-year-old relate to 7 different women between 1983 and 2016. And Madeleine McCann's sister has told a court messages sent by someone allegedly pretending to be the missing girl played with her emotions. Polish national Julia Wondelt denies stalking. Those are the headlines.
Grumai, thank you very much for that, Simon. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Staying cloudy this evening and tonight, mostly dry with some patchy drizzle at times, minimum temperature of 9 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, largely cloudy again, generally dry, light moderate west wind, soon veering slightly and decreasing a little, with top temperature of around 14 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
Canals Agricultural Supplies have been serving the good folk of the North for over 30 years, supplying homegrown wheats, whole and rolled oats, working clothing, fencing, animal feeds, parts, tools and emergency supplies. Call Julia on 880206 or find Canals on Facebook.
Direct cremation is just that. An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 5 minutes past five on Manx Radio's Update. Welcome to the programme. Now, if you've been listening to Update this week, you'll know we've been talking about that serious incident that happened at Cornet Beach. I just want to bring you up to date with where we are on that front. Today, a Douglas man has appeared in court after being charged with attempted murder. Taylor Jake Murphy of Highview Road is also accused of having an offensive weapon, namely a knife, in a public place, amongst other charges. It follows a wide police search in the north of the island on Monday. The 19-year-old appeared only to confirm his name and address. There was no application for bail and he'll next appear on the 14th of October. Now, as you may have heard in the news, in the last few minutes, Manx Care has announced that the Martin Ward in Ramsey and District Cottage Hospital is to close towards the end of October for around 4 weeks. Siobhan Fletcher joins me now. First of all, Siobhan, what do we know? What's this all about?
First of all, Christian. So in a statement, Manx Care says this measure follows a pest control issue restricted to part of the building's roof space and is required to enable thorough and safe remedial work to take place. The affected area is currently being monitored daily by pest control contractors and enhanced cleaning schedules are in place. It's clarified that during the temporary closure, patients who would normally be cared for in the Martin Ward will be relocated to Ward 19 at Nobles Hospital. That's on the ground floor in the West Wing. This includes those requiring step-down care following an admission to Nobles Hospital as they work towards their rehabilitation goals. Staff will also move with patients to ensure continuity of care and maintain the highest standards. It says affected patients and their families will be contacted prior to the move to ensure a smooth transition, and all other services at Ramsey and District Cottage Hospital will continue to operate as normal whilst this work takes place. As a side note, Manx Care has also confirmed that during this closure, planned works will be carried out by the Department of Infrastructure, including the installation of new ceiling tiles, other structural improvements to enhance patient care and experience, and a comprehensive deep cleaning and inspection programme.
OK. Have we heard from the chief executive at all?
Yes. So Theresa Cope said, "We are naturally very sorry for any inconvenience this may cause to patients, staff and visitors." She says, "We look forward to reopening such a valuable and important facility in the north of the island as soon as works are completed." And it's worth noting as well, Christian, we'll be hearing more from Miss Cope tomorrow morning as she'll be coming up to the studio to speak to us.
Grandma, thank you, Siobhan. And naturally, full details will be available over at manxradio.com. We'll stay with health because medical professionals on the island have shared further concerns over the potential for a new private medical facility. It follows the submission of a planning application to transform former offices near Victoria Road in Douglas into a 15-bed hospital. Manx Care says it welcomes any initiative that enhances choice and availability of private healthcare provision, whilst the opening of the private patient unit at Nobles, closed since 2019, is said to be upcoming. The chair of the Isle of Man Medical Society, Dr. Prakash Tyagarajan, and consultant radiologist Vanira Finocchi, says they want to see it reopened as soon as possible.
We got the infrastructure. We just need to staff it appropriately and start it. And this is something that was closed in 2019, ostensibly for refurbishment. And now we are in 2025. Obviously, we can't help but wonder whether intentionally or unintentionally delaying the opening of the private patient unit is making the environment conducive for the for-profit organizations to come and take money away from the island.
You've described it as it risks cherry-picking high-revenue, low-complexity cases. Have we seen examples of that happening overseas, perhaps?
Yes, in many, many places, and we don't need to go that far. Our recovery fund, which was used to procure services from a private for-profit organization, it happened with them as well. They did take away a lot of very low complexity patients and left our colleagues at Nobles to pick up the high complexity patients. Not only that, some of our colleagues are still to date dealing with the complications created by or that occurred as a result of procedures provided by this private company.
Most of all, the concept that we really want to express is that in other jurisdictions, for example, in Jersey, the private healthcare revenue. It's an asset. And mainly is the public, the NHS, that wants to keep hold of that. The revenue that could be made by the private sector, which actually the island has a very big potential of, it should be used by us to implement, improve and expand our NHS facilities.
Dr. Prakash Tyagarajan and Dr. Venetia Funaki speaking there. Right now, it is 10 minutes past five. A new survey suggests most people on the island want tougher rules on smoking and vaping, particularly to stop younger people taking up the habit. Simon Richardson is back with us. Fastamie, Simon, what's this all about, please?
Fastamie, Christian. Yes, the findings come from Island Global Research, which surveyed over 4,000 residents across the Isle of Man, Jersey, Guernsey and Gibraltar earlier this year. And of those, around 1,400 were Manx.
And what did it find when it comes to attitudes here?
Well, around 2 in 5 Manx respondents felt more should be done to reduce the harm caused by smoking and vaping, and 1 in 5 said much more action was needed, particularly on vaping. People here are also, and this is quite surprising, I suppose, less likely to view smoking or vaping in public as socially acceptable than those in Jersey or Guernsey.
That is interesting. So what sort of measures are people backing here then?
There's very strong support for youth-focused action. 93% of respondents supported schemes in schools to discourage vaping. 86% backed more public health campaigns aimed at young people. And around 8 in 10 also want tighter advertising and display rules for vape products.
Well, let's look at the broader kind of restrictions. We know menthol cigarettes were taken off the shelves a little while ago to try and stop making smoking appealing. Is there a move towards that with vaping too?
Well, there's a clear majority that backed bans on flavoured vapes and introducing plain packaging, while around 6 in 10 supported banning vaping outdoors in public and increasing taxes on both tobacco and vapes. More than 6 in 10 also favoured the idea of a smoke-free generation, which would effectively ban sales to anybody born after 2009.
That was actually Russian MHK Michelle Hayward that began putting that idea into a motion, if I'm not mistaken. That was referred to a scrutiny body, but presumably, although not everyone agrees with tighter restrictions.
No, exactly. As some respondents argue that adults should retain the right to smoke or vape, warning that strict bans could create black markets or make vaping more appealing to young people. It's worth noting, Christian, that Public Health Isle of Man is continuing to encourage people to quit through its annual Stoptober campaign, which runs throughout this month.
Simon, thank you very much. 12 minutes past five.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Quick warning before we move into this next story. We're going to be talking about baby loss, a topic that naturally will be upsetting to some. It'll last for approximately 2 minutes. Today marks the start of Baby Loss Awareness Week, and a starlight walk is being planned for parents tomorrow evening at the Roundhouse in Braddon, where they'll be able to meet others, take a moment to reflect and show solidarity with one another. Laurie Ann Shipsides, who has experienced loss herself, has been speaking with Chanel Suku.
It's basically just to show that people aren't alone. I unfortunately, as you say, I lost my own babies, one through a missed miscarriage in 2016, and another in 2022 for an ectopic pregnancy. So it just basically, that experience unfortunately showed me how isolating baby loss can feel. So I just basically want to show that everyone's not alone going through grief and bereavement.
Every time when we approach this week, you do a lot of campaigning online about raising more awareness around baby loss and Baby Loss Awareness Week. Have you noticed that more and more people are feeling comfortable enough to come out and speak and get that help if they need it?
I think there is a lot of awareness out there, but a lot of people don't feel comfortable talking about it. And that's obviously okay too. Like, everybody deals with grief differently. And we just want to make sure that everyone knows that there is support there if if they need it.
I know you've also just had your rainbow baby, if I can call him that, Lannan. Even though you've got Lannan with you, you know, as this week approaches, do you still feel those emotions from years before?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think that a lot of people think that once you have a baby, that sort of like erases the pain of obviously having another. That's not the case at all. Like, I do find it very triggering at times as well, because I feel guilty in a way, because obviously he's here and I'm like, I shouldn't be feeling happy because I've lost them other two babies. So I do feel guilty at times, but then I'm like, that doesn't erase the love that I had for them two babies, if that makes sense.
Laurie-Anne Shipside speaking there. Well, if you want to attend any of the coming events to mock Baby Loss Awareness Week, here are all the details. As I mentioned earlier, at the Roundhouse tomorrow, on Monday at St Thomas's Church, a star service. Tuesday, A Little Piece of Hope will have a candle service on Douglas Prom, all of those starting at 7 o'clock. And if you have been affected by any of what you have heard in the last couple of minutes, then head on over to manxradio.com/support.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look on the roads to begin with. In Douglas, temporary lights on the old Castletown Road. That's near the nunnery, 24 hours a day for work on the manholes. Meanwhile, in Braddon, temporary lights on Braddon Road. That's just up from Braddon Bridge. Meanwhile, in Glenvine, temporary lights on the main Peel to Douglas Road. That's between the Glen Darragh Road turn and the Ballygarry lights, 24 hours a day for emergency repairs to a manhole cover. Over in Santon, the Mount Murray Back Road, that's closed for the building of a concrete underpass. And of course, as I've said, all through this week, the mountain road is closed from Brandywell to the Craignoe Bar for drainage work. I will take a quick trip down to the steam packet. Everything is looking good there. I'm not seeing anything out of the ordinary, so we'll go a little bit further down to Ronald's Way Airport. And everything is looking green and blue, so that is all good on the arrivals board. Also, similarly on the departures board. So if there is anything which I've missed that you want to let me know about, text WhatsApp to 166 177, email to studio@manxradio.com.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside!
Liberal Venon Party leader and former Health Minister Laurie Hooper leads a somewhat lonely life as the only Liberal Venon member in Tynwald. As a party of one, he recognises his influence is limited but feels passionately that party politics is the best way to ensure our politicians are held to account for their actions. He explains his thinking on perspective this Sunday at 12 on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Could party politics work for us? I guess Laurie will need to lead more than just himself to demonstrate that it does.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
18 minutes past 5 on Manx Radio's update. Now, for most of us, Storm Amy is something of the past. But for those dealing with the cleanup operation, the consequences are still very much here. Many of us will have noticed flooding, fallen trees and debris, but just how big an impact has the first named storm of the season had? Well, John Moss has been finding out.
We are, of course, still tidying up in some places in the plantations from those two hooligans, Eowyn and Dara, who arrived last winter. Now, here we are with further things to clear up. Modern gales have names, of course, and that could make them sound more significant. On the other hand, hoolies in times past also arrived and were damaging. They were accepted largely as part of living on an island renowned as being a windy place. Are present-day conditions a notch higher than in recent memory, or are we bigging them up? The list over the weekend was quite impressive. 18 reports of flooding. Balfane Roundabout, a team there, pumping water away. On the A3, the road between Belig and Ballacrane, impassable due to river flooding for a time. Several roads were blocked by fallen trees, including Whitebridge in Onchan. a tree partially fell onto a car. At Bluff Glen, a tree fell across the highway and onto a house on the opposite side of the road. Infrastructure teams dealt with barriers, debris and diesel spills on the roads. One tree became lodged under the bridge at Quarterbridge Roundabout, and that needed a call to a contractor to remove it before it caused a blockage. In many cases, fallen trees were moved to the roadside to be recovered later in daylight. Once winds eased, principal routes were swept clear of debris from the carriageway and gullies ahead of further rain. There are two main issues remaining, we're told. Glenmore Road in Malou closed due to a landslide affecting the carriageway. Part of Church Hill in Laxey is closed following a partial collapse of a roadside wall. As we move into autumn and winter, infrastructure say their focus is intensifying on responding to weather events. Preparation for winter already underway, of course, including repositioning salt stocks, readying gritters and delivering refresher training and winter briefings. So the next blow, and it will come, it's a question of when, isn't too much of a blow.
John Moss there with that report. Now, the chair of Douglas City Council's Housing Committee says it's imperative that properties are turned around as soon as possible to allow those on the list to move in. At its public meeting, the local authority confirmed it had reallocated 41 properties last month and had received 17 properties back from tenants, which it said is significantly high. Councillor Peter Washington says the committee will look at the trend over the last 12 months, but cannot predict how many houses are added to the vacant list. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking to him.
It's a very dynamic environment for void properties, because when we do get a property back, they are going to be classed as void. And some will need an awful lot of work doing on, and some don't need as much work doing on. So we intend to turn them around as quick as we can. And it can change on a day-to-day basis. We don't get fixated on actual what the number is today, but what we look at is the trend, and is that trend getting bigger or is it getting smaller, and how much time we've got these voids.
Under the vacant properties on the minutes from your meeting, it says that you've had a return of 17 properties, which is higher. So is there a reason for that this month?
A calendar month is a good way to look at things, but really we've got to look at over a 12-month period to see when the houses are coming back. 17 in one month is an awful large amount for us to get. Now, when we could look into that to see what the reason is why, but it's not just the tenants that are giving us the keys back. Sometimes it's the families that are giving us the keys back, and we know the reason for that, and we've got no control whatsoever on it. But throughout the year, it's a spiky profile. We just cannot predict how many we're going to get each week, each month, and to some extent each year. But what we can see is we have a turnover on average of 5% a year. There's no change in that over the last 12 months.
How significant is it that you're getting these properties back? Obviously, you mentioned 17 before, and you mentioned that it's about 5% every year. So how significant is it that you get these properties back to then move them on to new people?
For the councillors, especially the councillors that are on the housing committee, it's imperative for us to do that. Myself being chairman and one of the other members of the housing committee actually sit on the allocations, and we read the circumstances of people that are on the waiting list. We know what conditions of the houses that they're living in. We know exactly why they're desperate for social housing. So for us, it's imperative that if we've got people on our housing waiting list, we've got to get them in them houses as quick as we can. And the emphasis is always going to be is we need more social housing. We have to get people into proper, decent living homes. When you see some of the stories of people, and we do get a lot of stick. When you go to an allocations meeting and you see the states of some of the properties and the conditions that they're in, to then say that they can come into a social housing, that's why we do that, this job, and that's what gives us that satisfaction.
Douglas councillor Peter Washington speaking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper there. Right, sports up next.
Your name's not Dan, you're not coming.
Make Floor Fillers the soundtrack to your Saturday night with me, Chris Quirk. Relive the best nights of your life with dance anthems from the 90s onwards. We'll also be firing up the decks in the studio and going in the mix for 20 minutes of uninterrupted anthems. Whether you're dressed to impress for a night out or vibing at home with friends, Floor Fillers brings you the energy to kickstart your Saturday night from 8 on Manx Radio.
Thanks for that, Chris. Now let's turn our attention to sport, and after claiming her second world title last week, Manx martial arts competitor Alana Pritchard says she's hoping to turn professional in the sport in the future. The fighter from Ramsey also explains how it feels to have won gold at the IMMAF World Championships for the second year running.
Yeah, it feels really good. It was nice to like cement it again and be able to kind of just show that I can not just do it once, but do it twice.
What did you maybe learn from the first time you won a world title last year that you could take into this year? What experience did that give you?
I think that obviously it's like a tournament based, so being able to approach each fight as it comes as well, like just taking confidence from last year, I think as well. And I've had a few fights in between that, so I've learned quite a bit, and just being able to implement that into this year's tournament as well.
Just how high is the standard in both your division and the other divisions in these world championships?
Yeah, this is like probably one of the biggest events in amateur MMA. A lot of people from here go to get contracts with like Cage Warriors and other big promotions as well. And like I said, some of the lads had big brackets and stuff like that. I know Joe, he won his bracket. I think he had like something like 16 people in it. So yeah, across the whole kind of organization, it's a massive event for everyone.
This isn't the only thing that you're involved in throughout the year. You've got plenty of other things going on. Could you just give us a bit of a summary of some of the other things you've done in the last 12 months?
Yeah, so I've done a lot of grappling competitions just to kind of keep my grappling skills up. Obviously, I've got a jiu-jitsu background, so I've been trying to compete in as much of that as possible. I'm hoping to get out as much as I can going into 2026 as well with grappling, MMA, and then hopefully we can have a look in a few months to see where to go next.
When it comes to the future and your future plans, do you have anything clear in mind at the moment, or are you still sort of working that out?
I think I've got a bit of a goal, obviously turning professional and stuff like that, but at the moment I've just kind of got to take each fight as it comes, getting as much experience as I can, and just making sure that, yeah, I get as much experience and I can get as many fights in before I do turn professional.
Alana Pritchard speaking there. Let's keep with sports. We can say Fastamai to Darren Timpson.
Fastamai, starting in football. And FC Alamance's poor form continued last night despite taking the lead in a 3-1 loss to South Liverpool in the Northwest Counties Football League. The Ravens took the lead through Charlie Higgins after 16 minutes, but two quick-fire goals by the home side saw Rick Holden's squad trail at the break. With 15 minutes to play, the hosts had their third of the evening, which put the game out of reach for FC Alamance. The Island side remain winless in four games and sit just above the relegation spots by a point after 15 games. FC Alamance will be back in action this Saturday away to Litherland Remica. In archery, Islander Leslie Slight produced a medal-winning and record-breaking performance whilst competing in the UK last weekend. The Manx competitor managed to take gold in the open competition at the Welsh Field Archery Association National and Open Bow Hunter Championships last Saturday and Sunday, with the events being held during what are described as challenging conditions at Abadou Lane near Neath. Slate's open competition saw her score her finish 120 points clear of her nearest challenger. Slate then managed to break the record for the unmarked 3D round in the adult female traditional recurve class by 22 points during Saturday. She then went on to break her own English record in the unmarked precision round by 7 points the following day. And in cycling, Manx rider Sam Brand has competed in the first stage of the Tour of Taihu Lake in China today. Taking place in Nanjing of the Jiangsu province, Brand had a steady race, finishing in 58th. The event takes place until Sunday, and tomorrow the peloton will ride in the Wujiang district of Suzhou.
Gurumai, thank you very much for that, Darren. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Simon Richardson. Island Life Special is up next. Stick around for that. Chris Kinley has Greatest Hits straight afterwards. He'll be followed by Maurice Powell, who'll have a little light music for you. Then Rian Evans taking you through till tomorrow with After Hours. I'll catch up with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.